owners of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
What about it?
Well, everyone knows.
We're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, New Hour, and same old, same old. Margaret, what's the story?
Well, the comments you made about Kim... Phil made... Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray.
You have to say that every time you talk.
Yes, I do.
Easy, bud.
Now I'm going to start all over again. Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Phil Hendry was making comments about Kim Kardashian during the break, saying that she looked good, pregnant, and her face filled out nicely, and this and that. And my question was, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah, and my question back to you was, what's wrong with it?
Everyone knows that...
Not supposed to like her.
No, it's not that you're not supposed to like... Excuse me, I'll say what I want to say. Everyone knows that Kim Kardashian is a... She's rolling fat.
Oh, so let's be insulting, huh?
Now, hold on, Phil. She is the most arrogant woman. She walks around with a butt that sticks out like that and thinks she's hot. Don't you understand that she flies in the face, and let me underline the word, the face, of everything that we know as traditional beauty? I think that it needs to be pointed out.
Yeah, but that's what she wants to be.
I don't care what your opinion is, but if that's what she wants to be, then she needs to know that she walks around with the big rear end and, oh, aren't I beautiful? And she's got people believing that. It is absolute.
What's wrong with it, Margaret, other than the fact that it's goes against what you think is the norm?
No, no. This has got nothing to do with the norm. This is simply, don't you think if you're walking around with a butt that size, you should at least... If you walk around with a butt that size, shouldn't you at least first say, excuse me, I'm about to tell you that I think I'm beautiful, but I should point out what I'm hauling.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But no, I don't understand that.
Don't you understand that...
I'll do it, bud. What don't you understand?
What don't I understand? I mean, why should she have to point out she's got a big ass?
Because she's going around, oh, aren't I beautiful? Yeah, you are. Well, and I'm claiming that with this ass.
Okay, so what if she said that?
It gives people a chance to... sort of step back and look at the arrogance of the woman, that's all. And I don't think anyone really sees the arrogance. It creeps up on you. Because she says, oh, hi, I'm Kim Kardashian. Aren't I beautiful? Yes, you are. And then she walks away. She turns. She pivots. Okay, you know what I mean by a pivot?
No, I don't.
Well, she'll rise up on one heel.
Oh, will you knock it off, Margaret, with the wheels and the pivots?
Well, she walks up, hi, I'm Kim Kardashian. Aren't I beautiful? Yes, you are. She'll pivot on one heel to go get some herbal tea or whatever is being served. And then you see the ass. Then it hits you.
Yeah, you got to recalculate.
You've got to factor that in.
If you haven't factored it in.
So, in other words...
Oh, here goes Daddy. Every time you go in other words and you fold your hands in front of you, it's like we're all going to get a lecture.
Yeah, you guys do that, Mr. Hendry.
Don't.
All right, watch it. So, yes, that's what I'm going to do. In other words, when Kim Kardashian enters the room and you look at a beautiful woman and you say, you're very beautiful, and she says, which she would never say, oh, aren't I beautiful?
Well, she says it in so many words, Phil. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about.
All right, okay. So she says it in so many words. And everyone agrees, and then she wheels or...
No, I said she pivots.
Yeah, I said pivot.
Oh, excuse me, she pivots.
Don't... Phil, I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make me the butt end, if you'll pardon the joke. What are you looking at?
You.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at her, bud.
You're trying to make me the butt end of this.
I'm trying to tell you that what you're claiming, what you're observing, and what you are trying to institute as some kind of valid viewpoint or observation is that Kim Kardashian walks into a room, says, aren't I beautiful? Everyone agrees. She pivots, excuse me, to go get some herbal tea?
Yes, or whatever they're serving.
Maybe like strained orange juice.
Strained orange juice.
What is this anyway that she's at?
Never mind, Phil.
All right. She turns to go get her strained orange juice, and you see her big ass, And now you have to factor that in, and you feel, what, blindsided?
Yes, it's a little bit of a blindside. You've already made your statement.
That she's beautiful, and now you see the big ass.
Yeah, and you didn't factor it in.
And you didn't factor it in.
Thank you and good night.
You're not leaving, are you?
No, but I'm...
You can go to the bathroom.
Margaret, you know, you can't come up with these goofball notions and then expect people to just say, oh, well, and not comment on it. It just ain't where it's at. All right, Jimmy Hoffa and Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is going to be joining us this hour to talk about Jimmy Hoffa. Where is Jimmy Hoffa? Where has Jimmy Hoffa gone? Where have you gone, Mrs. Hoffa? The FBI investigates a potential burial site for Jimmy Hoffa. Say this for the FBI agents working the Jimmy Hoffa case. They're persistent. More than 35 years after the infamous union leader disappeared near Bloomfield, Michigan, federal authorities continue to search for his remains. The latest excavation will take place in a field near Detroit, reports Fox News. Hoffa, the controversial Teamster leader, who was both lauded and vilified, went missing in 1975. He was 62 at the time. His disappearance is one of the country's longest standing mysteries. Man, you got to say this for the mafia, you know.
When they disappear you, you stay disappeared.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy's not going to come back if he's dead. I'm pretty certain he's dead, yeah.
No, but they don't know.
No, they don't know. You're absolutely right, they don't know. But Jimmy Hoffa, when he went missing, I think was in his 60s. So this guy, we're talking 40 years later. I mean, they have to be over 100, I think. In any event, Hoffa led the powerful Teamsters Union from 1957 to 1971. He was sentenced to prison in 64 for fraud and jury tampering. President Nixon commuted Hoffa's sentence in 1971. As part of the deal, Hoffa agreed, quote, not to engage direct or indirect management of any labor organization until 1980. Many believe Hoffa was killed by organized crime figures in order to stop him from taking back control of the Teamsters. The FBI is acting on a tip from an aging criminal named Tony Zerilli. Earlier this year, Zerilli told WDIV Detroit that Hoffa was buried in the Detroit field, which he said he learned when released from prison in 1975 after Hoffa went missing.
Well, this is some old hood coming up with information that he knew in 1975.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know why these guys keep quiet about things. They keep quiet because of the Omerta thing.
What's that?
That's the agreement to stay quiet when you're in the mafia.
Yeah, I can't say nothing, or it's Omerta.
Well, no, you can't say anything. That's Omerta. If you say something, it's Muerta.
Muerta is death.
Yeah, bingo. Give the man a cigar.
Well, I don't know if that's... Is that Italian?
Yes, it's Italian. It's Spanish. I don't know what the difference is.
There's a difference between Spanish and Italian.
Okay.
Zerilli was second in command with the Detroit Mafia. He says he was told by a mafia enforcer that Hoffa was abducted at a restaurant in Bloomfield Township and brought to the area on Buell Road in Oakland Township and buried.
They kill him first?
Well, I sure hope so.
Well, it doesn't say. It says that we got abducted.
Well, he was abducted from the restaurant. He was brought to this area and buried. I'm assuming they killed him somewhere on the way. The original plan, according to the aging mobster, was to bury him here temporarily and then take him up to northern Michigan and bury him at a hunting lodge in Rogers City. Time will tell if Zerilli's information proves accurate. In the years past, the FBI has acted on a slew of tips from alleged criminals who claim to have the scoop on Hoffa's fate. Some have said Hoffa was pushed from an airplane over the Great Lakes. Others believe Hoffa was buried in a horse farm. All those leads, including the long-standing rumor that Hoffa was buried under Giant Stadium in New Jersey, never led to any, if you'll pardon the pun, concrete evidence. All right. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get a little bit of his background on this. And I know, Jay, that you're at, I don't know where you are. We got to take a break. Are we taking a break? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Then we'll be back with Jay Sanders, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. All right, I think we are you guys going to
gonna do the Iron Swine?
I'm sorry, I should have introed it.
No, just go cold.
Okay, we're just going to start cold.
Yeah, but now you carved it. Go ahead.
Oh, take it easy, okay, Shakespeare. Here we go. Hey, hold on for a minute. Bud, what are you moping around for?
It's supposed to come out of the break cold.
Well, we didn't come out of the break cold.
You make pretend like you're doing a commercial.
How do you want me to pretend like I'm doing a commercial?
Pretend like you're doing a beer commercial or something, and then we'll go into it. Please, please. I never ask you for much.
All right, fine. So drink Coors Beer. It's fantastic. I love it, and you will too. Coors Beer. And now back to the Phil Henry Show.
Time now for Iron Swine. This episode of Iron Swine, Iron Swine's called out to a foreman in Detroit to find out on Jimmy Hoffa. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hello, Iron Swine. Yeah, I'm a farmer. I live up in Detroit.
Yeah?
And something smells funny in my field.
Hmm, I wonder if that's Jimmy Hoffa.
I don't know. Jimmy Hoffa, man, I'm just telling you, something smells funny.
The toilet flushing okay and the sewage and everything like that?
I don't know.
And Iron Swine and got in his car and drove off to... And Iron Swine got in his car and he drove off to find out what, you know, what was going on, you know, at the thing.
What are you doing, man?
Trying to find it. Yeah. And Iron Swine drove off in his car. See, that's what I was looking for.
Oh. Well, how long will it take you to get there?
I'm still flying over to the farm. Yeah, there's your farm now. I'm going to land it. I'm landing on the farm. There.
Hey, Iron Swine. Something smells funny. Maybe it's Jimmy Hoffa.
Let me take a whiff. Nope, that ain't Hoffa. That's Elvis Presley. Iron Swine never did find Jimmy Hoffa, but they changed the sewer system out there at the farmer's house.
Thanks a lot for the tip on a Roto-Rooter.
You got it. But
that's it?
Yeah, that's it. They didn't, how am I supposed to find Jimmy Hoffa? They never did.
Well, I thought Iron Swine found everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was telling them. We should have had him.
No. You got to make it realistic.
What's that smell? It's Elvis.
Yeah, because on account of nobody knows where he is.
Everybody knows that Elvis is dead. Everyone knows where he's buried. You should have had somebody, some missing person that nobody knows, like,
Don't say Amelia Earhart, because everybody do that.
Okay, I won't say Amelia Earhart. Anyway, well, that's great. So you have that car. Now, is that a flying car?
Yeah.
Is it like the Jetsons car?
Yeah.
He didn't like you asking too many questions.
I don't know.
Okay, fine. Fine, genius. There you go. Iron Swine, ladies and gentlemen. Wasn't that fantastic? But getting back here to...
Yeah, you're being all sarcastic and everything.
No, I mean, it's great stuff. But, you know, let's get back to the real thing here, man. Jimmy Stinkin' Hoffa. And this guy went missing in 75. Did you ever see the movie? The movie Hoffa was pretty good. The movie had Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa. And Danny DeVito directed the film and played a pivotal character, I forget who. But I think DeVito and Nicholson share the final scene. I think it's the final scene. And then that really good actor, who's the kid? Frank Whaley. There's a young actor who plays the actual assassin. And they theorize. And of course, this is all theory. But their theory in the film is that they stopped at this restaurant, and Hoffa stayed in the car, and his driver, played by Danny DeVito, went into the restaurant. And waited for whoever they were to meet, and that Mr. Hoffa would then get out of the car and go into the restaurant and meet them. And the thinking and the sort of the attitude conveyed was that Jimmy Hoffa at that point, and indeed much of his life, did not feel beholden to anybody. That if there was a meeting between Jimmy Hoffa and anybody, it was that person coming to Hoffa, and he wasn't going to budge an inch, and he was the main man, you know. He did a lot for truckers, he did a lot for the Teamsters Union, and in so doing, he went to bed with the devil a little bit. He, you know, sold out their pension and welfare. There's some things that he did that were not on the up and up at all. But Hoffa came from a time when, you know, you did deals with criminals. You did deals with organizations like the Mafia or the underworld in order to help your union, to help your membership gain whatever advantage they needed to. It was a violent time. It was a time when, the companies were hiring goons and guys with axe handles and guys with guns. And so, it was the feeling of some in the union movement that the union had to do the same thing.
Well, you sound all like you're all ashamed of it.
Yes. Are you saying that was bad?
I'm saying it's unfortunate that at any time in the history of this country, things had to move forward basically with a baseball bat and a fist, and that, the normal process that we use, that we hope to use, which is persuasion, did not work. And, that's just the way it was, the way the country came up. But anyway, Hoffa in the film version is shot by a patron in the restaurant as he sits in the car, and then is essentially the body is left in the car. It's rolled up the back ramp of a trailer. All of this while Danny DeVito sitting in the restaurant isn't quite sure what happens. He comes running out as they take off. But they roll this car that Hoffa is shot in into the back of this big truck. And the film ends, and it's a beautiful ending to the movie. The movie ends with this truck rolling down this highway. And, of course, you're looking at the truck symbolizing the nation's freight, the nation's commerce, the nation's business, sailing down this highway. Only this truck has the body of Jimmy Hoffa in it.
What's beautiful about that?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that it's ironic that the truck, the very thing that Hoffa sought to liberate, the very thing that he sought to protect, was in fact that thing that carried him to his grave. And of course, people believe that car that Hoffa was in was taken to a scrapyard and essentially just compacted into a cube.
What? That Jim, what would happen to Jimmy Hoffa then?
I don't know, bud. Three guesses, man.
What do you think would happen?
Bubba get all squished up, man. I'll say.
Yeah, there you go. That's using the old noodle. He got squished up. So anyway, yeah, the Cadillac went into one of those cubing machines and just zzzzed. Those are pretty fascinating to watch, huh?
Well, they are, so long as you don't have to think about a man's body being in one of them.
Yeah, that is kind of gruesome. But anyway, that's what they think happened to Hoffa.
Then he put it in a giant stadium. No. Why not?
What do you mean, they put it in giant stadium?
They took the cube. They took the cube.
They're not going to take a cube of metal and drop it into giant stadium.
They did with the cube whatever the hell you do with a cube of metal. I don't know. Would they?
Yeah, why not?
Because they got a guy's body all mashed up in there. I don't know. What do they do with that stuff?
I think they recycle it.
See, that's where they said they thought Jimmy Hoffa is buried somewhere in a parking garage. Like he's part of a... somebody said that he was part of a support for one of the expressways in New York, in Detroit, that he was at Giant... He's part of the, construction of Giant Stadium, that he was buried in a parking lot somewhere. You know, all kinds of insane and daft notions about Jimmy Hoffa. That's the end of that, though, man. I would recommend you see that flick. Will they ever find his body? The question is, why are they still looking? And we're going to get Jay Santos on here next half hour. I'm sorry that we didn't get Jay on right away.
Because he's still waiting.
All right, I'm sorry that you're waiting, Jay. Let me... Jay, I'm sorry that you're still waiting. Can you hang through the news?
Well, yeah, I can hang through the news. I was told that I'd come on to talk about Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's what we want you on for.
Oh, okay, that's great. You got a news coming up right now. Are we on the air right now?
We're on the air, I'm sorry.
Oh, all right, Phil. I can come on after news. I'm sitting, just sitting here with my daughter. We're having one of those father, daughter talks about, her school and everything. We're having some Swizzlers.
You mean licorice?
Yeah.
All right.
I got to take her home, put her in bed and,
Okay, Jay, we'll be right back, okay?
You got it.
All right, so we'll be right back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about, what does he mean, Swizzlers?
Those are those licorice sticks.
All right. We'll be right back with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Jimmy Hoffa, where he could be, where he might be, where he should be, where he sure as hell isn't, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show back here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast here on this Monday night. This morning, 9 a.m., huge press release regarding the Phil Hendry Show and what we have planned. And I got to tell you something, I mean this sincerely. The fact that our radio show has survived this long is an absolute, it's amazing. It's amazing, given the trials and tribulations of this business, this industry, the fact that our radio show is still on the air and will continue on the air as of the 25th. We're in business, baby. So if you're an affiliate, you're a listener, you're winning, hey, what's going to happen to your show after? You know, I really shouldn't have said that, you know everything's, our relationship with TRN is ending on the 24th because it got everybody thinking, well, we're going off the air. We're not. We're not going off the air at all. We are remaining on the air. And as I said, there is a press release coming out this morning that will explain all. And I think you will be very, very pleased. All right. 877-876 is our number. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And with me is Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, I appreciate you being with us. We wanted to talk about, you know, Jimmy Hoffa and the likelihood that this guy is ever going to be found, you know. You have some experience.
Well, we had experience looking for Corey Havana.
What was the guy's name?
Corey Havana.
Corey Havana. Who was he?
Corey Havana was a notorious criminal that lived here in the South Bay area. I'd probably say around 1998, 1999. And it was at that time that he did go missing. He was into loan sharking, some prostitution. He was into a number of things that were, you know, bad and everything, but he went missing, and we began looking for him wherever we knew how. And I didn't know anything about it, but we told police that we would be taking a look around and take a peek over their shoulder, too.
All right. Did the police ask you?
Well, we are Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know, Phil is a volunteer agency designed to save lives. More than anything else, we're just about saving lives. And we're about taking a peek over the shoulder. Police make sure they're doing a good job.
And yeah, I know. So what does that any of that have to do with finding a guy that's missing?
Well, the guy that was missing was a criminal and had gone missing and was wanted by the police for questioning. And at that time, we said to the L.A. County Sheriff in the area that we were going to conduct our own investigation to find him, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And at that time, and they did then at that time say they had a problem with that. And
what was their problem?
They didn't want us to be involved in anything that was disruptive, as they put it. And I said to him very, you know, candidly, I said,
Who were you talking to?
I was talking to one of the sheriffs. I forget his name. It was Dave Bloonen or Bobby Blue, something like that. I forget.
Bobby Blue.
Yeah, I'll look up and see if there's a Dave Bloon.
Dave Bloon, Bob Blown, I think. B-L-O, something like that.
Bob Blown.
Yeah, let me look.
Well, you're saying it like Bob Brown. What, do you think I'm lying?
But let me tell you something, Jay. These names don't sound real. All right, but if you say you talked to L.A. County Sheriff...
Yeah, I did, Mr. Henry, okay? I did. And they said I'm telling you, to be very candid, they said, we'd rather you not muck around and make, you know, we want to find Corey Avena. And I said, let me tell you what, I do too, because if this punk was operating on my turf, I want to know all about it. So we went into a vacant lot. The first place I said to them, let's just look in a vacant lot. And we started digging in a vacant lot, and then we found backyards. Wherever the people would let us dig, and also, you know, we'd take a sniff, because, as you know, a decomposed body will smell, and we had dogs that could sniff it.
Do you have cadaver dogs with the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
I'm sorry?
Do you have cadaver dogs?
Do we have cadaver? We have a Doberman Pinscher.
No, no. What I mean by a cadaver dog is a dog that can smell cadavers.
Oh, you mean that can sniff out a dead body? As far as I know, any dog... That's kind of interesting, because any dog you want to talk about is going to smell a dead body.
Well, but yes, of course. By that measure, so can human beings. But I'm saying, will the dog be able to identify that as something that you want to find?
Well, I don't understand that.
We'll move on to another question.
Never mind, Jay.
Right.
All right, so what happened?
Well, I mean, we bought this one dog. It was my wife's, actually, my wife's sister's dog. It was a terrier. And all he did was bite, you know, he just bit everybody, and he tore a hole in the pants of one of the subcommanders. Then we got another dog that was a collie, and that, it was not very smart, and it went on everybody. Then we got another dog.
Did you get a dog that knew how to sniff for things?
Well, as I said to you, Mr. Henry, every dog knows how to sniff for things. Hey, Subcommander Gleason, Jerry, Henry wants to know, did you get a dog that can sniff? I mean, he's even laughing at that. Of course a dog gonna sniff, you know?
All right, so what did you find?
Well, I mean, what happened was that's when a sheriff, this guy Bob Blown, comes and says, and I did file a complaint with the sheriff because he come up on us and he says, what are you morons doing? And I said, I'm doing your job, Blown. That's what I'm doing. I'm digging, trying to find Ken Avena. He says, well, his name's Corey. I said, all right, well, when I find him, I'll ask him his name, ha, ha, ha. And the guy's looking at me like I'm six different versions of Dork. And he says, Corey Avena is not missing. We know where he is. He just took off. Or no, he didn't say he's not missing. He says he's in Mexico. I say he's in Mexico. He says, yeah. I said, you said he was missing. I said, and Blown says, yeah, he was missing. But we tracked him to Mexico. I said, well, I assume, naturally, he's dead.
So the guy wasn't dead, buried someplace?
No, and that's what when he said, oh, he's missing, we start digging in the guy's backyard.
Well, who told you to go digging in a backyard?
If the guy's missing, what's the first thing you're going to do? We've seen all about Jimmy Hoffa and all the others that it had happened to, too. And I can tell you right now, Mr. Henry, as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, you tell me a guy is missing, the first thing I'm going to do is go grab a shovel, and I'll meet you down at the vacant lot. And another thing, we brought out the dogs, as I told you.
Yeah, you brought out five different dogs. Did you ever find one that could sniff a dead body?
No, we did not, but we found one that could sniffed up something that stunk bad.
You found one that sniffed up something that stunk bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, if it's not a cadaver dog or whatever you call it, but it was a dog that could smell something that was smelled bad. We bring the dog in. I got to go through all kinds of humiliation because the thing's sniffing my crotch. And I finally said to Angel Brero, I said, get that thing out of my crotch. Get it out now. And he says, yeah, but boss, it smells something bad. I go, three guesses. And I said, yeah, tell me all about it. Three guesses, the first two don't count.
Okay, is there an end to this story?
Yes, and then the dog sniffed in a pile, and I go, there's where he's buried. And we dug it up, and it wasn't a dead guy, but there was garbage there. Forget it.
Okay, but Jay, do you understand that this whole story finally leads me to a dog sniffing, finds garbage, and that's that? You didn't find a dead body?
That's right, because the L.A. County Sheriff, specifically Bob Blown, L.A. County Sheriff...
Bob Blown.
Yeah, Bob Blown. What, can he have no name?
Sure, he can have a name. It just sounds like a very... So what did he say?
He said that the guy's not missing. He's in Mexico. He's just missing from the neighborhood. So they're down in Mexico right now, and I guess they got help at a federale and also the FBI, and they're going to try to round him up.
All right, well, that sounds to me like the L.A. County Sheriff's doing its job, FBI's doing its job. The Federales are doing its job.
Is the auxiliary police doing its job?
No, it doesn't sound like it to me. I mean, you guys are digging up backyards and vacant lots. And,
Wait. If the guy said to... I'm going to say it again. If the guy says to you, somebody's missing, aren't you going to start finding a dog that can sniff it out?
If someone said to me that someone I loved was missing...
No, whoa. No one said someone I loved. It's Corey Avena. No one loved this guy. No one cared.
All right, fine. But, I mean, let's just say that there was somebody missing, was like my kid. The first thing I'm not going to do is try to find a dog or whatever to sniff out dead bodies, because I'm going to want to find that kid alive.
Well, you know what, Mr. Henry? There's the way that we want it, and there's the way that it is. Okay? And I think, you get that one?
There's the way we want it, the way that it is.
That's right. So, I can't guarantee you, if your kid goes missing, that we're not going to go find a dog that can sniff it out.
You didn't find any dog that could sniff it out. You didn't find a dog that could sniff anything. You found a dog that could smell something rotten, and the first thing it did was start sniffing your crotch.
All right, that's uncalled for. And
you're the one that told me.
I might have told you, but the point was the dog was able to sniff out the pile of garbage.
Yeah, the dog sniffed out a pile of garbage. There wasn't a human being there. So you guys wasted all kinds of time. That's my point. And this guy, Avena, is now being tracked in Mexico by the Federales and the FBI. He wasn't dead, and he wasn't buried in a vacant lot.
But your whole point is to make me and every member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police look like a worthless redundancy,
No, that's not the point.
Yeah. Yes, it is. To make us look like worthless redundancies in a mindless, cold world of just devastation and everything.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, Jay, I thank you very much.
Sure.
I do. I thank you very much for enlightening us on the case of Corey Avena. At least we know that the law enforcement is on this. And you guys were trying to find. Thank you very much, Jay.
Well, he's a little put out, Phil, I think, by the way you treated him.
I didn't treat him bad. How did I treat him bad? I was asking him questions. He says he's got a dog that can... I said, I didn't know you have a cadaver dog. And he says, yeah, and he thinks I'm talking about a breed.
Well, yeah, when you said cadaver dog, he thought you meant like a German Shepherd.
Well, no, I wasn't. Any cop knows that a cadaver dog, what a cadaver dog is. These are dogs that can smell dead bodies. He brings in some dog, I don't know what kind. What kind was it?
It was a terrier.
A terrier could smell something.
See, that's where he got upset.
Well, I'm sorry. A terrier could smell something rotten, and the first thing it did was sniff Jay's crotch. Then it found a pile of garbage in the bacon. All right, sports fans, thank you very much. We'll be right back. Final segment here, the world-famous, never-ending, ever-after Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I don't want to talk out of school because I don't know anything about it, but these electronic cigarettes.
Yes, I saw this new ad here for, it looks very interesting.
Well, now let's just slow down, okay?
No, it's not Stephen Dorff. It's not that one.
Yeah, Stephen Dorff was doing a different one.
Not Stephen Dorff, Stephen Dorff, who happens to be one of the finest actors that I've ever seen. He's a great actor. And the fact that he's doing these commercials, either they're paying him a bundle of, well, I don't know, you know.
Well, Stephen Dorff is one of those actors that has been in a great many indie films. He's very much a man that I think he demands quality in all that he does.
That's great, okay.
Well, what's with the that's great?
Okay, Margaret, I got you.
But I'm glad they got him to do the commercial because I think he looks great. And as far as these cigarettes go, Dan Northcraft says that it's a very light tobacco scent, so it's not very offensive, but I think they're still very injurious.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I mean, I don't even know that I would go back to smoking if they developed a cigarette that was good for... Well, if it was good for you, I suppose I'd try it, but This, I don't want to go near it because it's going to be, it's still bad, right?
Yeah, it's still got tobacco and, I mean, not tobacco, but what has it got?
Nicotine.
What?
Nicotine.
You can't say the...
Didn't say the N-word, nicotine.
What sounded like he said, never mind.
It's called nicotine, you idiot.
Yes, nicotine. I believe it still has nicotine. I think it still has a great many other very injurious things in it, so yeah.
All right, so you don't want to start smoking, even if they're electric cigarettes. I'm sorry, but now this is very interesting because, as you may or may not know, you probably know just because you've never seen a cigarette advertising on television. There is no cigarette advertising on television. There hasn't been for some 40-plus years. It's been a long time since, and I can still remember as a kid seeing the cigarette commercials on TV for Cool and Marlboro Country and all this stuff. These are on TV. These are on TV. Now, why do you suppose?
Well, I don't know. It's a very interesting question. Somebody somewhere is...
I'll tell you why, because someone somewhere is gobbing the cone.
Oh, would you watch your language?
I don't have to be around here for that.
You watch your language.
Sorry. Can't say that, ma'am.
So, in other words, you're saying someone's giving someone sexual favors?
Hold on. I don't think any of that's happening. I'm sure that there is some kind of a clause or some, you know, loophole that allows them to advertise on television. Because if they are tobacco-based or tobacco or nicotine-based cigarettes, then they're going to be, you know, injurious, and the same thing is going to happen. You're going to be, pushing a product that is probably going to hurt kids. I don't know. Good luck, man. Blake Griffin could be headed to the Los Angeles Lakers in what would be a blockbuster deal that all hinges on Dwight Howard. The Clippers are reportedly interested. Get a load of this. Even if you're not in the city of Los Angeles as an NBA or professional basketball fan, you might find this interesting. The Clippers are reportedly interested in trading for Howard, giving up Blake Griffin and guard Eric Bledsoe. But there seems to be a disagreement from sources on how serious the teams are and whether Dwight Howard would sign off. The deal would likely be a sign-and-trade for Howard, meaning the Lakers would be able to reach a contract deal that's more attractive than what other suitors can offer. Both the Houston Rockets and Dallas Mavericks are reportedly interested in Howard and have devised schemes to dump payroll in order to acquire him. Despite a strong roster that included Griffin and Paul and a team that had a 17-game winning streak, the Clippers fizzled in the playoffs, losing in the first round of the Memphis Grizzlies. With a season that wasted their first-ever Pacific Division crown, the Clippers could be looking to shift some pieces. There's also questions of whether the Blake Griffin to Lakers trade would make sense for Los Angeles. They would be giving up quite a bit on the defensive end by losing Howard and would be letting him go to one of their Pacific Division rivals. Boy, there's a good point.
No, I'll give him to a rival.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of one of the unwritten rules of trades. Do you ever trade to a division rival? And the answer generally comes back, nine. However, are you going to give up? Why wouldn't you if it means you're going to get something that you really need? The trade would also depend on whether the Clippers swing what would be a mega deal with the Boston Celtics.
They're not the Celtics.
I know, I just said that. The Clippers are interested in acquiring Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and coach Doc Rivers, but the Celtics reportedly want Bledsoe in return.
Celtics?
No, Celtics. The Clippers seem inclined to keep Bledsoe first as an insurance policy until Chris Paul signs a long-term deal, but also as future trade bait himself. If the Celtics deal goes through, that may be the end of the Blake Griffin trade as well. If Griffin does go to the Lakers, it could be monumental for both teams. The Clippers would have a potent combination in Chris Paul and Dwight Howard, while Kobe Bryant would have another piece of the late career championship he so bloody well covets. Now, giving up that center, though, man. Well, so there it is.
Now, you didn't follow the Lakers this year, did you?
I didn't follow the Lakers because they sucked. I only follow... My teams are the Lakers and the Dodgers. Those are the two teams that I would say are my clubs. Now, I have a lot of teams. I like teams from outside of the market. Football, I tend to be a Jets fan. I liked the 49ers last year. And that's heresy for an L.A. football fan, but I liked the 49ers last year. I tend to enjoy the Dolphins. But they all got to win. If they suck, I ain't going to follow them. That's just all there is to it. They understand. You understand. We all understand, you know.
Well, you're like a Fairweather fan.
Yeah, sure. I'm a Fairweather fan. I just don't follow sports that closely anymore. If I had season seats like I used to for any of the clubs, and maybe I ought to do that. Maybe I ought to invest in some kind of season ticket. What do you think I ought to get?
No, I got like a hockey, LA King.
Kings. Jesus, that's expensive, man.
Well, what about football?
There is no football.
No, I mean like, you had the USC Trojans, didn't you?
Oh, to hell with that. I love that, yeah, great, Trojans forever, I don't like college ball, man. I want to watch the pros go at it, okay? That's where it's at. That's the name of the game.
What do you mean?
The name of the game is professional sports. Pro. Where a guy's earning his living. Where he's feeding his children. Where he's feeding his big fat wife. Where he's feeding his big fat ass. That's the name of the ball game. The rest of it is minor league stuff. Don't want it. Don't go near it. Don't need it. Maybe it's fun to take the kids to. Maybe it's fun to go and watch on a particular day when you got nothing better to do. The pro game is the game. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That's my game.
That's because you're a professional.
That's right. I'm Phil Hendry. Thank you very much for listening. Our show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, and Dan Northcraft. We'll see you tonight at 10 for another edition of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And remember, until tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.